And don't forget, we are now 93.5 FM, as well as our very faithful 1110 AM. And I hope you're doing great today. You know, our society often, it's a big time. I think kids are an accessory now in society. Years ago, when I was growing up, we were not an accessory. We were just there, kind of, you know, meant to be seen and not heard. But now that's like a fashion thing to have a kid, which is really fun. I mean, being a mom, I get that. But, you know, what happens when you don't have children? What happens when you don't want children or when you can't have children? Do you kind of feel a little left out? Well, maybe some people do, maybe some people don't, but I certainly can understand if you do, or even if you don't, how do other people treat you? That's the thing. I mean, everybody asks that question. Do you have children? Why don't you have children? Is that a little too personal, or is that something that we should ask everyone? I've always wondered about that because I don't know how personal and how invasive into someone's space it is to say, why did you not have children? Are you having children? This is, as I say, what we ask people when they get married. My guest today, Connie Comstock, has written a book on this topic. The book is Honoring Missed Motherhood, Loss, Choice, and Creativity. Very interesting book, and I think a very important topic in any generation. But certainly now, as I said, that kids are such an accessory that so many people feel that they have a right to ask someone why they're not having them. And I want to ask Connie Comstock that question. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. I'm delighted to be here talking with you, Sharon, about this topic.
Thank you so much. I mean, it's really such an interesting topic. You know, when this crossed my desk, I thought, you know, this is a topic that most of us just don't talk about, or we don't know how to ask someone about. It is a touchy subject, or is it? Should it be a touchy subject to those that don't have children?
I think that it is touchy because there's the assumption that women are supposed to have children to be whole. And if we didn't have that assumption, if we could drop that, it wouldn't be such a touchy subject. It would just be a fact of life. But that isn't where we are at this point in our culture or society.
Right.
The exciting thing is we're kind of moving towards the recognition that a huge number of women don't have children.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a whole new choice that women have. One, having the choice of not having any children. Another, waiting a long time and then finding out that you can't have children.
Right.
So 30%, right now they're saying 15-20% of the women reach 45 without any children. That's huge.
That's
and
huge,
they
yeah.
say it's moving towards 25%.
And do you think that that's by choice? I mean, for some it is, and for some they've just waited too long and they just run out of time. You know, it takes a while after 40 to get pregnant. Sometimes you can't. So, and then they kind of wake up at 50 and say, what happened here? I never really planned this. So there, it's not by choice, right?
There's a lot of women in that percentage that did not choose to be childless. It includes women like myself who were faced with infertility, so they couldn't have children of their own, and then there's that huge dilemma, well, how do you get children if you can't have your own? And it's not as easy as people might think.
No, it's not.
And then there's the women who wait a long time and end up not getting pregnant and not having the right spouse or partner to raise a child and not wanting to be a single mother.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of it is not by choice, but there really are a good percentage of women, I think it's about 10%, who choose not to have children, who make a clear choice.
Yeah.
And they're also faced with this, as you pose the question, are you having children? Why aren't you having children?
Yeah.
Why not?
Right.
And always those of us who are childless, who are without any children, are faced with being on the outside of a society that considers a child and having children to be a requirement for a full life.
Yeah, no, that's a very interesting point. There is that. I hope that that's waning a bit. But as you say in your book, as long as I held the vision that I needed children and a husband to be happy and fulfilled, I was a dismal failure. That should not make someone a dismal failure, especially if it's your choice. But society already does that. And it's nice to think that we are coming out of it. But a lot of women still feel, regardless of what happens, some women got there by choice, some got there by not choice. When those childbearing years are over, once you've hit your 50s and you realize that this is not going to happen, is there a sadness that happens with many women?
I think the sadness comes in way before that, with the fear that I'm not going to be able to have any children. And so this energy is taken up with how am I going to make it happen? And so the sadness is already there, I think. And when you finally reach some age, some women feel it's like age 45, some 50, whatever age it is, where you realize, oh my goodness, I'm not going to have any children, and how did this happen to me? I think that all of the fears and the sadness kind of wells up. Mm. I run a sharing group for women, one of the things that I do, who are in this situation, and it's really interesting for them to actually have the opportunity, finally, to just talk about it without anybody saying, well, why, how could you let this happen, or
right.
what happened, you know.
Without the judgment, yeah.
They just were able to explore their own feelings, because it's been an unspeakable topic.
Yeah. No, there's no question.
If we speak about it, somebody wants to fix us.
Yeah, right. And, you know, the truth is, Connie, I must say that one of the nicest things about, I think some women should not have children, and
oh, yes.
They do because they feel pressed to. I mean, there's a lot of unwanted and unhappy children in the world because these women were really never cut out to be parents. And if they had been given the choice, which a lot of women felt they were never given that choice, whether they were, you know, whether it was years ago and birth control was not an option, or even in just a societal way, the husband or them, their family and friends never, they felt that they never had the choice. I think being able to talk about this and making it a category that's a fair choice in life, and certainly one that is respected, is a real help to society. Don't you agree?
I really do. Mm. I think that we need to normalize what happens for women. And in my book, I talk about five different categories of missed motherhood, including situations where women also have children. So they may have had a miscarriage or an abortion, or they may have given a child up for adoption as well. And they have their children. So that becomes another kind of hidden sorrow that you really can't talk about or recognize.
Yeah,
but you know, there was that loss.
Yeah, I understand, and you do have that in your book, you know, women who have children but had miscarriages. But I don't think we feel the same way about them. And certainly everybody would say, well, you had a miscarriage, but you had a child, too. So, you know, there's not much sympathy for that, is there?
No.
Yeah.
There isn't.
No,
it's like, get over it.
Yeah, get over it. Right, really. Get over it. And the truth is, you really kind of do have to get over it. It's just one of those things that happened, but you lucked out when it's one of those things that happened and you didn't, or maybe you did. Maybe your life is, I know friends that don't have children and their life is absolutely wonderful.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that they miss it. I mean, it's hard to miss what you don't have. I think it's other people that make them miss it often. Don't you agree?
I think there's both situations. Mm-hmm. For myself, I was told I couldn't have my own children when I was 26. And so it was very abrupt and early in my life. I had to come to deal with it. I didn't have to go through all those years of hoping and hoping and hoping. And at that time, I really felt like I would rather die than live a childless life.
Right.
And now, I can, you know, decades later, I kind of consider myself child-free. I've lived a life that I wouldn't have been able to live
right.
if I had children.
No question.
I've lived overseas, and I've traveled a lot, and I've done all sorts of interesting things, and I didn't have to come home and take care of children.
Yeah, children change your life. There's no question.
Yeah.
Yeah, they absolutely
do.
So
it has its advantages, and I've seen both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt kind of uniquely placed to write about and talk about with other women this subject of missed motherhood, so the times when a woman is not a mother. And I've talked to women who, and I, in my work, I lead a seven-day retreat, the Hoffman Process, and in that, this issue of pregnancy loss comes up, abortions, miscarriages, or infertility, and we have a ritual during that week for the women and the men who've incurred pregnancy loss. And it's really interesting even to find when it happened 10, 20, 30 years earlier, that tears start coming. And that they didn't realize that there was that sadness down within them that they never got a chance to really look at and release because they just had to get over it, supposedly. And what they really did and what we all really do is we stuff it. So I think having a recognition that there is a real loss, even for that person is so critical for having a
But, you know, I gotta throw out the other side. So many people, I can just hear them saying, well, then go adopt a child. There's plenty of unwanted children in the world that could use your love. Is that sometimes just not an option for women? Or, I mean, isn't that the first thing that somebody would say to somebody who says, I'm really sad that I never had a child? And they say, well,
oh,
you
yes.
know, right? I mean, I mean, go find one. I mean,
actually, adoption is not as easy as people make it sound. I mean, it really, all of these options for having a child when it just doesn't happen, like in vitro fertilization is hugely expensive. Adoption
right.
is hugely expensive. And it takes years.
It does.
And, you know, and people are, I have friends who've really investigated adopting foster children. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then that becomes a whole other issue in the relationship because both the people in the couple, if they are a couple who are looking at adopting, have to really feel good about it and agree. So and be able to really talk about it and not just go along with it. And I have talked to some, you know, adoptive mothers who thought that was going to be their solution and found out it wasn't because
really?
They had never really gotten over their feeling that they had to have their own biological child.
Which, of course, is a disservice to the child being adopted to some degree.
Absolutely.
There's no question. You know, you mentioned men. Men feel this as well, not just women?
I think that men feel it differently, but it really impacts a lot of men. Originally in doing the work in the process, when we offered this ritual to women, we said, well, you know, let's try offering it to men as well. And I was surprised initially to find that the men actually have just as strong a reaction, and it's not necessarily the same, but about that loss. And let's face it, men don't have as much control as women do.
Right, no,
it's like
true.
The women who are bearing the children, it's the men who are kind of going along with it. So they, I think it has, it also hits them in the sense of they're out of control.
Yes, and I think that men feel they need to leave a legacy more than women feel
yeah.
that way. I mean, there's something about being a man that feels you have to procreate. Not that women don't, but they feel it in a different way. They want a mother. They don't necessarily feel that they have to leave something behind. They just want to do it while they're here. Men have a very bigger picture, I think, of parenthood. But the book, Honoring Miss Motherhood, Lost Choice and Creativity, is for every woman, every man that's either missed motherhood altogether or just had misses along the way and still became mothers. As you mentioned, you give these groups out in, I'm sorry, where did you say it was?
The Hoffman Process.
The Hoffman Process.
Mostly in California.
Mostly in California, okay. You know, women that have been childless and feel really sad about it or upset or just need to work it out, let's say, put it that way, they can go to your groups and they can also get the book, Honoring Miss Motherhood, Lost Choice and Creativity. It is a really great service that you did with this book because I think this is a topic that's very seldom talked about and I think needs to be talked about for so many reasons. And we need to honor the women and all women's choices, which to me is what women's liberation is about. All your choices. Stay home with kids, go to work, not have kids, mm-hmm. whatever your choice is. I think we need to honor that, and there should be no stigma around any choice that a woman makes. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for writing this book, Connie Comstock.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Everybody, it's on Shannon's Corner. You can go there, find her website, learn more about it, learn more about her, the group, and the